introduction.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Actually, I'm going to continue some of the stuff that was started yesterday afternoon in the consultants conference and bring you a little more of what we're working on with the experiment station at Stoneville, looking at some of the alternative nitrogen management strategies, both irrigated and dry land. I first would like to acknowledge my co-author on this, my research associate, Davis Clark. He's back at Stoneville picking up all the things that I'm not doing right now, so I would like to acknowledge him. Some of the things that we've talked about, or Bobby mentioned yesterday, if you were there, ESN is environmentally smart nitrogen. This is a polymer-coated material. We're looking at several alternative uses for this material and different strategies for managing this. It is a urea granule coated with a polymer that allows water to move into the granule, dissolve it, and eventually come out. So it's basically a time-release type product from Agrium Advanced Technologies. We've been working with this now for about, I've been working with it myself now for about 4 years, but I've been involved with folks that have been involved with this now for about 5 or 6 years. So that's one of the technologies that we're looking at. Agritain, or the NBPT products, and as Bobby Inch talked about yesterday, you know, the thing that we're really interested in is the mode of action here. So there are several of these MBT type products, including Agritain, Arborite Ag, and there's some others out there, that the technology is what we're interested in, and how they work and when they work, and if they're of importance today. And this product is now from John's group with Koch Agronomic Services. We did also were involved for about 3 years working with a product called Nutrisphere from Especially Fertilizer Products. I stopped the work with that last year and went a different route this year. A lot of the data that's been coming out at the efficacy of this product, we're not seeing where it does a nitrification inhibitor or a volatilization inhibitor, so we haven't seen a positive response from this. So I will give you some of the data that we have on this product, but we have, as of 2012, no longer working with that particular product. The objectives of the study were to look at the effects of nitrogen sources. You know, we've had urea, UAN solution, and ammonium nitrate, and anhydrous ammonia for that fact, in our part of the world. Over the years, you see very little anhydrous ammonia used today. Ammonium nitrate, after Oklahoma City, pretty much has vanished from our part of the world too. You know, it takes idiots to get rid of a few things, and ammonium nitrate was one of those that, you know, because of the way it was used. We're also looking at these products with irrigated versus non-irrigated condition. You know, we talked yesterday also about a lot about irrigation and our move towards irrigation and grain crops in the Mid-South. So we've got this both irrigated and non-irrigated, and then we wanted to just try to evaluate some of the systems that we have that are available. The first studies I'm going to talk about are located at the Delta Research and Extension Center and also at the Trivet Satellite Farm. It's about 10 miles away on a different soil type, non-irrigated. The DREC site, we're working in two different locations on the site. One is a dub silt loam, the other is a Newellton silty clay loam. And by the way, those of you who are actually soils trained, before the Webb Soil Survey, the Newellton soil type was not even typed in Washington County, Mississippi. So things change. We've got soil types now that were never there before. They've kind of been combined. We've had soils in our area that have actually changed orders. So they've gone from human to a fish. That's the type of thing they've done, and one of those is a sharky clay. But the experimental design here is a randomized complete block. These are alluvial soils, so the randomized complete block program tends to work the best for us. They're usually at least 90 to 100 feet in length, and we use N rates that bracket our recommended nitrogen application rate, so we're using 90, 120, and 150 pounds of N per acre. And to start with these studies, we were looking at UAN solution. We were looking at UAN solution plus Nutrisphere, urea plus Agritain, urea alone, urea plus Nutrisphere, and then the ESN system. The ESN system we applied all pre-plant, or actually all just after planting. Once we got the plots established, These are all surface applications with the dry materials without an incorporation other than through tillage and planting and things like that, cultivation. The liquid products are knifed out with onto either side of the row. The satellite farm at Tribbett is a combination of a Dundee Forestdale, and there's a little strip of Dowling through there. But really, the replications kind of take out some of those different soil type effects. Again, a randomized complete block design, the same type configurations, the same situation. We started out with this study without the Agritain component, and we added that later, but this is a dry land site. And then in 2013, we came in and added treatments 3 and 4, where we actually wanted to look at one of the things we were a little concerned about with ESN is the release time. You know, we want it to be able to release at the time of maximum utilization, but sometimes, you know, there may not be much nitrogen in our soils because of a low organic matter content. So we're interested in being able to maybe put a little bit of urea or UAN solution or ammonium nitrate, if you had it or whatever, out early along with the ESN, and then let the ESN release closer to the time. So we're looking at kind of those strategies. So in 2013, we replaced the Nutrisphere treatments with this combination ESN type treatments. And we're doing this with several different types of crops. To get into some of the results, this is just 2010, and I'm just going to show you the main effects for these different products. In 2010, now this is at the Tribbett satellite farm. This is a dry land or rain-fed situation. You're looking at yields here of around 1,200 pounds of lint, and there's no significant differences here between any of those systems. Now, you know, I'm not putting any economics onto this. We're just looking at the systems, about the potential for those systems. If you take into consideration, for example, ESN going out as a single application where we normally split apply our nitrogen, then you're saving money because of trips across the field. If you can make one trip across the field, you can save money as compared to two trips across the field. So these kind of things come into play when you start looking at the economic impact of that. But notice in 2010, now this is dry land. We got 1,100 pounds of almost 1,200 pounds of lint with 90 pounds of nitrogen and no response to N. Now that's going to be a pattern that we've had a lot of trouble here in recent years getting responses. And it's not just me. Bobby's had some of the same issues where we're seeing no response to nitrogen. This is 2011 at Tribbett. Again, dry land. Notice the differences in yield. We're about half where we were the year before, but we're dealing with dry land, continuous cotton. So again, not a lot of difference between the systems, no response to nitrogen in that situation. This is the Delta Station 2011, where we've brought this into an irrigated environment. Now you see a little bit of a decline out here with the urea Agritain and the ESN, but statistically they're not different. So those numbers, even though the bars look a little different, there's no difference in those numbers. This is 2011 irrigated. Tribbett at the same time was about half that yield. So, you know, we had really good yields in the irrigated situations, but no response to nitrogen. This is 2012. Again, irrigated situation. I'm sorry, this is Tribbett 2012 yields. Really good yields for us in 2012, but again, no differences in the system, no response to nitrogen. The Delta Station, the same time, same situation. The systems, you know, any one of these systems is giving us, in effect, maximum yield or optimum yield. But the thing that's really interesting is that there's no response to nitrogen. Now, these fields, the Tribbett field, the non-irrigated field, that field is dry land, continuous cotton. The DREC location is actually two different fields that's being rotated with corn. We're doing these exact same studies in corn. So we're rotating 1 year corn, 1 year cotton, but again, no response to nitrogen. And we feel like that in this situation, excuse me, that with the type of rainfall we get in the winter months, that we pretty much denitrify most of the nitrogen that's left over after the corn crop or after any crop we grow. With the stuff we did with Gossam Comax back years ago, looking at nitrate in soil, we found very little nitrate in these soils. So we haven't done anything with that in a long time, and it may be time to reconsider that. This is the 2013 data. This is the non-irrigated crop down at Tribbett. Notice that we're looking at yields here of over 1,600 pounds of lint in a dry land situation. Real good cotton year for us this year. This is continuous cotton. But you see it some fluctuations here. The thing that was really interesting with this situation, now this is interaction effects, although the interaction is not significant, but the LSD in this case, that's 202 pounds of lint, which is extremely high for me. So we've had a lot of situations where the LSD may be as low as 50 pounds of lint. Now you see people talk about 20 pound LSDs. I'm a little concerned about those kind of numbers because we just can't get that in a field situation. But one of the things here is that, you know, we're doing a hand application here, so I'm getting more and more concerned about the uniformity of that application. So, you know, I've got some things that I want to work on with looking at the uniformity of the applications. But anyway, with this case, you see a lot of fluctuations. In only one situation, right here with the urea plus agritane, do you really see the stair step effect that we like to see or we would expect to see with nitrogen rate studies. So one of the things, and I'll mention it as I sum, is to look at the potential for, you know, maybe even lowering our nitrogen rates. You know, we've talked, you know, some of the guys in Louisiana, Gary Breitenbach, you know, 20 years ago, found situations where 30 pounds of nitrogen was more than enough to grow a two-bale cotton crop in Louisiana. So, you know, there's things going on here that, you know, I've been in this business for 33 years that, you know, and as I was told when I first came to Stoneville by Ish Spurgeon, who was a soils guy there, educated in Arkansas, said that he always created more questions than he could ever answer by doing research. And, you know, after 33 years, I think he had something there. So anyway, this is 2013. This is data there from the satellite farm at Tribbett. Again, really good yields. There was a statistically significant system here, which is a UAN plus ESN. We put out 45 pounds of nitrogen as UAN solution followed by the ESN. I think this is a fluke. I have no explanation whatsoever as to why that occurred. There's no plot in there that, you know, if you go back and look at the replications, that would indicate that there was a plot that was messed up. So I'm going to attribute that to one-year data. Now, the thing that was also interesting here is if you look, this is 150-pound nitrogen, and there was a significant response to N at this dry land location. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Whether that's an economic, that's about a 90-pound increase. But we, if you drop back, you start talking about the cost of that fertilizer material. Even though it's statistically significant, is it economically important? Probably not. Depends on the cost of the nitrogen fertilizer. This is the DREC location. This is, well, let me go back. Okay, you're looking at yields here from 1,400 to 1,600 pounds of dry land. So if we look at the same situation, now this is back at Stoneville. This is an irrigated cotton field. Again, an extremely high LSD, 167 pounds of lint, but lint yields ranging any from 1,522 up to 1,737 pounds of lint per acre. Extremely good cotton yields this year. The probability of a significant F here was at 15%. The reason I put that in there, because if you notice back at the Tribbett location, that probability was around 6%. And we always use that magic number a lot of times as alpha 0.05. You know, this would have been significant at the 15% level. And a lot of times for producers, that'll work. No response to nitrogen at this location. Again, this one's being rotated with corn. So Tribbett, continuous cotton, this one rotated with corn. there was no significant difference between the sources in most years or the application systems. And one of the things you start thinking about, and Bobby brought this up yesterday, you know, a lot of these technologies, you know, whether you're looking at volatilization inhibitor or nitrification inhibitor, the products do what they say generally based on lab data. But if for example, you're putting out urea, and you get rainfall immediately, you don't expect a volatilization product to stop volatilization if the product's already in the ground. So, you know, trying to really evaluate these products, if you don't have the right situation, you know, they're really more insurance type and an alternative management system. So, you know, we need to take that You know, we've had really high yields even on dry land. You know, the only response we saw to nitrogen was one year, this past year at Trivet. So as to what's going on, you know, one of the things we're really considering is, like I say, lowering that N rate to maybe see if we're way out of bounds. We've gone up to 180 pounds at Trivet and seen responses, you know, and higher N rates on corn. But the cotton, you know, we're not, something's not going right. So, you know, it says stop, so I'm going to stop.
Time for one quick question.
Alan.
Wayne, did you include zero nitrogen checkpoints
in any of them? No. The question was, do I put a zero nitrogen rate? I don't put zero nitrogen in any of my studies. I'm really starting to think about that. I don't, because a producer wouldn't do that.
Right, but in this case,
it gives you an idea about the residual or where it's coming from.
You're not showing a difference from 90 to 150, but there could have been a difference in the lower range. I think
right. And I think that's an important point, Alan. That's why I'm really considering going that route, because spending all of this nitrogen money and not getting a response, farmers don't need to be doing that either.
Yeah, so. Zero would help
identify if you've got any response.
Yeah. Take Leo real
quick. Yeah, Leo.
Yes. You know, I just reviewed, we had like 18 years of nitrogen response data. 10 of my years was cut on farmers. In reality, and when you look at the actual rate needed to optimize yields, it was more or less between 70 pounds and 120 pounds across soil. So when you talk about no end rate response, I mean, what you're showing up to me is no surprise. Mm-hmm. You are already in the optimum range. So if you had included maybe a 60-pound, maybe you could have seen that. And the other thing, too, I'm surprised that he had said that, you know, in Arkansas, we emphasize incorporation. So I don't know. I'm really surprised.
In our situation, Leo, we're working with bedded areas. And, you know, there's been discussion about the product moving across the field. We've not seen that. You know, it's not totally smooth, so it tends to fall into the little grooves and stuff in the sides of the bed. So we haven't seen, you know, the talk about the carcasses at the end of the row. We haven't seen that.
There was one more gentleman we want to try.
Okay, the question is asking about not just yield, but other physical characteristics like cutout. We have looked at a lot of different things over the years. One of the things that really the higher end rates affect is maturity. But in most cases for us, we wait until this is, we've gone from when I started, you know, everything was harvested twice. Now it's a once over harvest. We don't see a great deal of differences there. I personally do not use plant growth regulators. I've not seen the need in my situation, even with that high end rate, as long as I keep the fruit on the plant. So, you know, we concentrate on insect control. Now, we don't have any control, of course, over Mother Nature and clouds, but we concentrate efforts on keeping fruit on that plant. And some years we'll have pretty good, you know, tall growth and stuff like that. But in most cases, I can't justify the cost of the PGR. It's not made enough difference in all the work I've done with PGRs to really make a difference. With PGRs and N rates delay maturity. The PGR is supposed to move it back. So you spent two times to get to the same point for nothing. So. But the higher end rates do push it back. You know, it may be a matter of days, but in certain situations, 3 days is could be 3 weeks. So,
all right. Thanks. Thank you, Wayne.